acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every...
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, mother...
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show, Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo.
Welcome back, Angela Yee.
Hey, good morning, Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Tuesday.
Yes, it's Tuesday.
By the way, the year's over. I don't know if y'all know it or not.
It's not over yet.
All right.
Halloween means it's over.
All right. No, it's over now. To me, in my life, iHeart Festival means it's over. It's October 1st. It's all downhill from here, baby.
You got October. You got November.
Man, it's over. If last December. Year you started off the year saying this year was my year and it still ain't your year, well, you might as well get ready to say that at January 1st, 2020.
Start working for next year.
It's over.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, it's over.
What's up, Yeezy? You was out yesterday?
Yes, I went to Chicago. Let me tell you something. Friday was a mission for me. So Friday, I closed on this property I bought in Brooklyn.
Congrats.
But then right after that, I had to rush to the airport to make this flight to Chicago. Unfortunately, there was bad weather in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the airport for almost 7 hours, only for my flight to get canceled.
Wow.
And then Saturday morning, I had to fly from New York to Orlando, then from Orlando to Chicago in order to get there. It was a crazy...
But you finally got there.
But I did, yes, I did finally make it, so that was great. So I made it to Chicago. And then I was on set for Empire, and mm-hmm. then randomly I see Chance the Rapper walking in the park. So I'm thinking that he's coming to film a scene or something, but he actually said his daughter goes to school right there, so...
Oh, he was just walking, taking his daughter to school?
I guess he just dropped her off.
Oh, dropped her off.
Chance is really a Chicago native.
He's just walking by himself.
Chance
just,
is like the Naked Cowboy is the Times Square to Chicago.
He's just so random. I was like, okay, that was nice. And then I saw a van from Black Ink. I'm like, everybody's just out walking around in this park. So shout out to Chicago, though. I had a great time there. Chicago is a city that you can go eat at any restaurant, and the food is never bad. Anywhere you go, like the best restaurants in Chicago.
Well, shout out to everybody in the Chi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this morning, we got our resident doctor and some of you guys' only doctor. Dr. Oz will be joining us this morning.
Dr. Oz will be here. I mean, yeah, Dr. Oz is some people's only doctor because they only watch Dr. Oz and listen to Dr. Oz to get all their medical advice.
There you go.
Which I would always tell you to get a second opinion. Okay.
Also, Erica Campbell will be joining us.
One half of Mary Mary.
That's right.
That's the Mary Mary that doesn't support Trump.
And she has a book
Correct.
Out.
Yep, so we'll talk about her book and all that other good stuff.
More than pretty.
Let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
Well, let's talk about the new law in California. They are the first state to allow this.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. Hey, we are The Breakfast Club.
That's a rapping-ass Negro from
yes,
the Queen
is.
City named the baby, okay? Been
yes,
riding
the
Kirk all weekend. Probably heard. There you go. Pop star. He got some tunes on that thing now.
You like the song with him and Nicki Minaj, iPhone?
Yes, I do, actually.
Okay, good.
Yes,
I like
Nicki got busy. You know what I was thinking when I was listening to that?
She heard some feelings on that one
for
the guys.
I was thinking about Nicki on that record. For whatever reason, Nicki sounds really good when she is on the baby's energy, if that makes any sense. When she did the freestyle over the baby's record, what was that?
She did Over Shug.
Over Shug. Mm-hmm. And then that joint on the Kirk album. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I don't know what it is, he brings out the best in Nicki Minaj.
That's dope. All right, well, let's get in some front page news. Monday Night Football! The Steelers beat the Bengals 27-3. Now, what else we got, Yee?
Well, let's talk about in California. The governor just signed a law that's the first in the nation that will let college athletes hire agents and make money from endorsements. That law takes effect in 2023. That means that students at public and private universities in the state can sign deals with sneaker companies, with all kinds of soft drinks, other advertisers. They can make some money now from their own images, their own names, their own likenesses, just like the pros do. And earlier this month, our New York Senator Kevin Parker also introduced a bill, and if it signs, that means, if, as it is currently written, it would require that New York colleges share 15% of their annual athletics revenue with student athletes, and they would also establish an injured athlete fund that will help students who suffer career-ending injuries, and that way they'll have some income after graduation. Now, of course, LeBron spoke about California and their new law. Here's what he said.
For sure, I would have been one of those kids if I would have went off to Ohio State or if I would have went off to any one of these big-time colleges where pretty much that 23 jersey would have got sold all over the place without my name on the back, but everybody would have known the likeness. My body would have been on the NCAA basketball game 2004. The Sean Steen Center would have been sold out every single night. And, you know, coming from the just, you know, from me and my mom, we didn't have anything. We wouldn't have been able to benefit at all from it.
That's dope.
I don't know how anyone can be against this. All the money the NCAA is making, break those kids off. There is no NCAA sports without the athletes. It's amateur
That's
ball.
Dope. They gonna
let
force.
Let them get their money.
They're going to force every state to do it, because if you're an athlete and you're a nice athlete, where you going?
Why California.
California.
Exactly.
It's going to force every other state
because
to do
if
it.
I That's don't dope. Go to California, I'm going to go overseas and I'm going to get my money. I'm going to skip college altogether. So guess what? NCAA, if you don't have the best players, at least for a year or two, then your product is going to suffer.
And FYI, NCAA, you guys will still make plenty of money.
Absolutely. It's billions of dollars being made, and y'all are paying those kids zero.
Absolutely.
Nothing. Jesus Christ, man. Drop on the clues bomb for, I think his name's Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California.
And I got to salute LeBron James and Maverick Carter on that, too. Because
they were pushing heavy.
They've been pushing and you know, using their influence and their power to make some things happen. So, hey, man, I love that. That's culture shifting right there.
Absolutely.
All right, now let's talk about the girl. We discussed this last week, a 12-year-old African-American girl. She said that three of her white classmates pinned her down and cut off her dreadlocks. Now she's saying that those claims were fabricated. Amari Allen said that three white boys at the school in Springfield, Virginia, pinned her on the playground, and she said they called her ugly and nappy and covered her mouth and clipped off her hair. Well, now her family is devastated and apologizing. Her aunt is saying she said her niece did have a verbal dispute but embellished the story. So she got into an altercation, and I guess they're saying that she embellished the story, and they apologize to the school and for the pain and anxiety these allegations have caused.
So how did her hair get cut off then?
That's what I'm confused about. But they're saying it will take time to heal, and we hope and pray that the boys, their families, the school, and the broader community will be able to forgive us in time.
Damn. I don't know what the true story is in that situation. You know, that young lady could be being forced to say that.
Pressure. Just like in the movie Unbelievable, the series Unbelievable on Netflix. Where
she could be being forced to retract her statement.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking, too. Like, the school is like, this is bad press for us, and we just need you to say it's not true, and they could be, I don't know, or maybe she did lie.
Or maybe she was really getting bullied, but nobody was taking her serious, so she had to say something to get everybody's attention. Because speaking out about being bullied wasn't getting nobody's attention to make it stop. Who knows?
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll hear more about it at some points. All right. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your front page news.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up right now. Call us. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course,
We'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture. And we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Sean.
Sean, what's up, man? Get it off your chest, bro.
Hey, what's good, Envy, man? Hey, look, man, I'm just trying. Why is it so hard to reach you on Envy? I mean, you on Angela Lee, man.
What do you mean? You got us right now.
Are they trying to reach out to y'all, man, like to make y'all music and stuff?
Nah, Charlamagne is the resident music guy.
That's a goddamn lie. I don't care nothing about your music career.
How do you reach out to us?
I be sending y'all DMs, because I don't know y'all email address, nothing like that. So I just send y'all DMs. That's the only thing I can send y'all through.
Yeah, DMs are hard. You know, we get a lot of those. If you don't go and check them, you have no idea they even showed up.
I'll check them now. Send us some music now.
Well, why is you lying all to right. people like that? What do you get out of lying to people?
I'm going
to
listen.
No, you're not.
He didn't even say his name.
You're not going to listen. You're just lying to people for no reason.
All right, Charlamagne said I'm not going to listen. I was going to listen, but I can't listen now.
That is so crazy to me how we just BS somebody for no reason. Hey, send me something right now. I'm going to listen right now.
Send it right now. I'm going to listen. I got
it. If you don't got a show to do for the next 4 hours.
I got a second, bro. You going to send it?
Yeah, I'm going to send it.
All right.
You don't even know his name.
Tell me his name.
How you gonna listen?
Is it about 4 inches? I asked him. I said, I don't even know his name. He didn't say.
Well, God bless. Both of y'all BSing each other.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Envy? It's Sheldon.
Sheldon, what's up? Get it off your chest, bro.
Yo, man, I've been trying to hit you for months, man, about doing these flipping houses and doing a real estate thing, but it's just hard to get in contact with you, bro. What's up?
Boy, Envy, no one can reach you.
You got in contact with me now. What's up?
How do I do the hard money thing, hard money lending thing? I was talking to you the other day. I mean, you give a lot of good information. I'm trying to reach out to your boy Caesar, too, but it's hard to reach. It's hard to get in
contact. Caesar said he responds to everyone.
Bro, you know we did a whole seminar up here on air, and we explained a lot of the stuff that was there.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was trying to reach out to your man Caesar. I've been emailing him, like, almost every day.
Come on, Caesar. You said you respond to people.
He does respond. Well, what's your question? What's your question, bro?
I'm trying to get into the game, so I was trying to... I just need a mentor, somebody to take me step by step, kind of like to tell me what to do, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to front. We're way too busy to take everybody on as a mentee.
I definitely understand that.
First thing I would tell you to do is, how's your credit?
It's in the 600. It's all right.
All right, so your credit's good. Next you got to do is find financials, man. Find somebody to get you a loan, and then you got to start looking for the houses. Go to hubzoo.com, auction.com, look for a house, look for an area that you are familiar with, and then start from there.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been trying to even look into, like, some hard money lenders, but I know you guys already had, like, hard money lenders that y'all use, and I'm in Passaic County. I'm there with your man Caesar, but I didn't want to it's hard to just trust any hard money lender. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like I said before, call five different hard money lenders, call five different conventional lenders, look at different things. You gotta protect yourself. Don't trust anybody. You gotta do your homework. It's not if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Right, I definitely understand that.
You hold on, man. I have a conversation off air. You hold on.
All right.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Big Talk with the Toe Sucker. How are we, gang? Good morning.
I thought we had you blocked, bro.
I thought I'd be blocked him, too.
To you in a minute. So check it out. Two quick things. I want to thank God for his blessings.
Uh-huh.
I also want to thank the rapper Jadakiss for giving me advice and helping me with acting on TV and showing interest in my YouTube TV video with Snoop Dogg. So you see, MVU, butterscotch, butt, I'll be sure, looking Negro. I don't suck, pal. You get
it? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I like the fact that you call him a butterscotch butt. I like that. I'm using that one from now on, butterscotch butt.
Yeah, you like that, you ankle grabber, don't you?
butterscotch butt is my new thing to say.
And I like ankle grabber. All right, ankle grabber. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning. It's Jermaine out of Atlanta.
Hey, what's up? You talking to butterscotch butt and ankle grabber. Angela Yee's here, too.
I'm here as well.
Yeah, what's up, Yee? Let's talk, Yee. What's going on?
You can talk to me.
I would like to give a big shout-out to my wife. Her birthday just passed, and I didn't get a chance to get through last week, so I want to show her some love, because without her, I don't know what I would do with our kids, so I got to give her flowers while she's here and big her up. What's up, Kai?
All right, brother.
Thanks a lot.
Hello, who's this?
What up, man? It's Knowledge, man. How y'all doing?
Knowledge, what's up, man? Get it off your chest.
Man, hey, first off, man, I want to say Envy, and I want to say all of you guys, thank you for pushing the culture. Thank you for being influenced, kind of like what Charlamagne said about Mav now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since I've been listening to you guys, I got my own podcast, and nice. Now I'm going to do my real estate life.
Okay. Wow, okay, get it.
Yeah, yeah, but Envy,
yes,
I
sir.
Got everything laid out for you when you touch down in the AR Friday. We got the police escort, you know what I'm saying? When you get there, I really want you to pay attention to the city and the land acquisition. We ain't flipping houses. Pay attention to the land, because multifamily, I think you got some opportunity for multifamily apartments down there. So I got my people that's going to be around you, that's going to really show you, you know, if you got 30, 45 minutes, because the city ain't that big, where you can just take a look and see the opportunity.
Sir?
You know.
Why does Envy need a police escort?
And I'm not going to be in Atlanta. Who tell him I'm in Atlanta?
I said the AR.
Oh, Arkansas. All right. Yeah, I'm going to be in Arkansas. Oh, yeah, now I'm definitely going to be in Arkansas. All right. I'll take the police escort. Why not?
They could be doing better things, like preventing crime.
No, that's all right. I'll take the police escort. I'll be there.
You good. Charlamagne, we had an opportunity to interview Lil D, bro. She is funny.
That's my partner right there. Lil D is, I can't even call her an up-and-coming radio personality, because Lil D been out here grinding for a minute, but she in Dallas. She just put a book out. That's my little partner right there.
Yeah, bro, I'm talking about funny, man. But y'all keep achieving, and I can't wait till the movie come out, man. When y'all end this and y'all do the biopic, I pay $100 for the ticket.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, bro.
I'll see you on Friday.
All right, in a minute.
All right, bro. Hello, who's this?
This is 2019 Elementary Teacher of the Year, not Reed Crichton Tyler.
Hey, Elementary School Teacher of the Year.
I like how you introduced yourself, boo.
I love that, too.
Thank you. My students have received backlash for a video we have done about reparations. It's on YouTube, and it's entitled Reparations. They have gotten hate mail. I've gotten hate mail.
Wow.
They wanted to study what reparations was. We was actually listening to a radio show, and they were talking about reparations, and they asked the question. Go to YouTube, type in reparations, and read the hateful comments that people have made. And watch how my students responded.
I'm actually going to listen to it, and if it's good, I'm going to retweet it.
Do it now. Reparations.
Do it now.
It'll
We're gonna listen to it.
What radio show are they listening to talking about reparations?
Y'all.
Don't say that. Don't just say some radio show. Say the Breakfast Club.
It was early in the morning. We were just in the car. It's a group of kids, and they were and the real young prodigies, and they were just asking what reparations was. And then from there, we did a whole summer long. We went to Alabama. We did a whole summer long project.
How old are they?
They're from third grade. The
10th
grade.
Wow. What interview was it they was listening to that we was doing? You remember? We talk about reparations so much.
I know. So it was just on. It was a clip, and we were just listening to it. My husband and I were talking, and so the kids chimed in, what is reparations? They wanted to learn about it. And so that just spawned an Alabama trip. We went to a plantation. We did everything for the summer. And they had a video release party, and then...
Wow.
Everything went bonkers when white folks looked at it and saw it.
But we can't wait to support reparations.
Yes. And we have little Harriet Tubman. She has a gun. We were being historically accurate. We were not trying to whitewash history. You know, it's okay for white students to pretend and like they're in the Civil War, but our black kids can't be kids. You should just read the hateful comments that they wrote.
I'm trying to find it. I don't see it. I typed in reparations.
Reparations. R-A-P-E-R-A-T-I-O-N-S.
Oh, because it should be R-A-P-A-R.
Oh, I see it. The real young prodigies. All right, I'm on it.
We'll take a look at it. Thank you, Mama.
Yes. Thank you so much. We appreciate y'all.
All right,
Queen.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, we are going to talk about this court decision. Marlon Wayans, they reopened against him. And I guess we'll be reopening old wounds for the person that is trying to, sue Marlon Wayans for some comments that he made. Also, rest in peace to Louis Rankin. We'll tell you what happened there.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, salute to the real young prodigies, reparations, man. Drop on the clues bombs for them. She called up during telling them why you're mad. That's a tough tune. I'm about to post that on my Instagram.
We watched the video just now in here.
No, I'm definitely about to post that today.
All right. Well, let's get to the rumors. We got to send out an RIP.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, yes, rest in peace to Louis Rankin. He was a Grammy Award-winning reggae artist for the song Typewriter that he put out back in 1992. He was nicknamed the original Dandara, and you know him from the movie Belly, where he played Ox.
Come on! Me shot pussy world people for fun! Who want to test me? Come on! Come on! You know who not bumba Claude Rankin? You know me? I am the original Jamaican Dandara. You understand? Jamaican rude boy. I don't want to rank with bomba clap me. Come on. I murder people for fun.
You know what? I'll just let it slide.
I'm sure he cursed.
Yeah, he sure did.
From Belly.
He definitely cursed just now. You may not have understood what he said, but that was definitely
I'm sure the producer, he's
Well,
Caucasian.
He's the original
sure
Dandara.
The original Dandara.
And he was also in Shatas. He played Teddy Bruckshot in Shatas. And
you want to romp with me?
I met him one time in Toronto, too, at a club in Toronto. He was living in Canada as well, but he died in a car accident yesterday
so
morning.
So sad.
Man, rest in peace, bro.
They said that car accident consisted of a transport truck and another vehicle as well. So rest in peace and our condolences to Louis Rankin's family.
Absolutely. And that's so sad because in Belly, after he killed all those people, the lady just came down from behind him and cut his throat. He never even saw it coming.
Nope.
All right, now let's talk about Lil Nas X. He's on CBS this morning and he's talking about basically his childhood and knowing that he was gay when he was in his teenage years, but not wanting to be. Here's what he told Gayle King.
Around my teenage years, you know, I was just like, you know, praying that it was like a phase.
That it would go away.
Yeah.
But don't you think you coming out could probably help others who are struggling the way you were struggling with it?
I think it's going to always help, you know, you still have a long way to go because it's not like everybody is like messing with me now because, of course, somebody who's like listening to me in school right now, it's like, you gay because you're listening to him. So it's like, it's still a lot to be done.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yep. People do, and he's had his own experiences to say that. People are saying that if you're listening to Lil Nas X, people might say you're gay in school.
People say, I mean, even growing up in school, there's certain things that you could have watched. They would tell you that you was gay just based off what masculinity is supposed to be.
Right, so it's never an easy path.
Yeah, if I say I like
people,
I love the show Girlfriends, they'd be like, oh, you gay because you watch Girlfriends. I'm gay because I watch four black women on TV. Okay,
all right.
That's what gay was.
Now, let's
watching Oz.
Let's talk about B.O.B. And it seems like he's upset over the lack of support that he's been getting. I went to his Twitter page, too, to see what's been going on with B.O.B. as of late. The pinned tweet on top of his page, he put out a project called Southmatic, and that was back on June 21st. And then he was tweeting, James Blake was right as F. There is a limit to your effing love. And he somehow posted this.
You niggas ain't support me worth a shit while I was living. And now that I'm dead, you want to talk about, oh, I love B.O.B. and I love his music and love all this shit. You suck my you bitch. You don't care about none of the shit I said and none of the shit I did and stood for and put my neck on the line for you ungrateful ass coons. You don't give a about nothing but your Instagram, you
I don't hear anything wrong with that video. I mean, I have questions, but like, what's the issue? The man is venting. He's frustrated. I would tell him take that energy and put it into something constructive, but overall, there's nothing wrong with getting things off your chest. It just looks crazy because it's on social media.
Right.
What is he upset about?
Who's he talking to? His
you
fans?
You think he's still a flat earther? Yeah, he's upset at his fans.
I think that's what he's mad about. The fact that y'all keep trying to tell him that the earth is round and he thinks it's flat. If that man wants to believe the earth is flat, let him believe the earth is flat.
Jeez.
I will say, though, one of the ways to stay mentally healthy is to pay attention to what makes you stress. So, like, where you feel it in your body and how you react to it. So, you know, I just think that when you know that, that helps you manage your stress better. You got to learn to express anger when it's small instead of allowing it to build. Sounds to me like B.O.B. let it build up and that's what you get. He should try some, like, relaxation breathing.
Some breathing exercises.
Yeah, some yoga, some meditation.
All right, now Marlon Wayans, he's upset that the court has decided to reopen this whole Cleveland case. If you guys remember, he was filming the movie A Haunted House 2, and there was somebody on set who was an extra in the movie who looked like Cleveland, and Marlon Wayans posted a side-by-side of the man and a side-by-side of him with Cleveland. His name is Pierre Daniel, and said, tell me he don't look like old Cleveland Brown ass looking, and he posted a picture of him. Now, according to Pierre, he said that Marlon Wayans would also harass him on the set and made a habit of roasting him.
Oh, God.
And it caused him great harm.
Oh,
at the
my
time,
goodness.
My goodness.
At the time, a judge said that Pierre did, in fact, look like Cleveland. And then what Marlon Wayans was doing was protected free speech, and they also upheld that ruling back in 2017. They said if that is Marlon Wayans' creative process as a comic, then it's okay.
That's
but
crazy.
Now the California Supreme Court has weighed in and they're saying that they should reconsider. Here's what Marlon Wayans had to say when TMZ caught up to him.
This is a money grab. Somebody's trying to... This is financial terrorism, and it's sad that the court system would allow this to happen. A guy that has nothing to lose just suing somebody for sue's sake.
I still think it was a pretty funny thing.
Everybody thinks it's funny. The judge, the last judge thought it was funny. I'm pretty sure he thinks it's funny.
That's crazy.
His wife probably is sitting there going, babe, you do look like him.
I'm going to start suing people then.
Listen, y'all could have never grown up in our era.
Never.
Like, what happened to when somebody had jokes on you, then you just throw jokes back? That's how you get comedians off you. If they had them jokes, then your jokes just got to be better.
Unless it's not better, and then it's even worse.
You don't want to sell. You still go out. Well, then you go out swinging. Then you swing on.
You got to say your mama first. Your mama, then you go out swinging.
No,
Lord,
don't
have
do
mercy.
That.
Like, God dang, if you look like Cleveland Brown, you look like Cleveland Brown. How about sue Family Guy for stealing your likeness?
This is crazy.
What did B.O.B. mean when he said he died? You didn't hear that?
He said
I was living before, now I'm dead, I guess, because he's not popping as much.
He said people only appreciate people when they're dead, so maybe he's saying that, I don't know.
Now,
he might have been doing something and was just ranting.
I hope B.O.B.'s partners reached out to him, you know what I'm saying, to see what's really on his mind. Because, you know, all social media, all we're going to do is repost it.
Right, of course, and everybody did.
And laugh.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, front page news, what are we talking about?
Let's talk about Donald Trump and what's going on with impeachment. There's a lot more Republicans now that are seeming to support impeaching Donald Trump.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. All right. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast
What's
Club.
What's happening?
Let's get in some front page news. Now, last night, Monday Night Football. Charlamagne, did you watch?
Nope.
Yee, did you watch?
No, I wasn't home. I didn't get home till 1 in the morning yesterday.
All right. Well, the Steelers beat the Bengals last night 27-3. Now, what else are we talking about?
I saw that over the weekend, I saw the Cowboys lost, so they're no longer undefeated.
Yeah, but we still 3-1.
That's the only game you've seen, huh?
Yeah, exactly. We still 3-1. We still on top of the NFC East, so it's all good.
All right, what else are we talking about, Yee?
Let's talk about Donald Trump. Now, he said yesterday that he does want to know who this whistleblower is. And he's also saying if the Democrats are successful in removing the president from office, which they never will be, it will cause a civil war-like fracture in this nation from which our country will never heal. That's a quote from Pastor Robert Jeffers that he posted. He added the "which they never will be" part in quotations. So he's basically saying that. Now, a Harvard law professor John Coates said that social media post alone is enough to impeach him from, just because he's trying to incite some type of civil unrest.
Yeah.
So a sitting president threatening civil war if Congress exercises its constitutionally authorized power is an independent basis for impeachment alone, according to this professor.
I know one thing. Once it gets to impeachment trial, which I'm sure it will be, that's going to be fire. Now, God, that's going to be must-see
TV. Giuliani has also been subpoenaed by House Democrats, so they're looking into two politically motivated investigations. They're also looking into former Vice President Joe Biden, who is challenging President Trump for presidency in 2020, and they're looking for a prosecution of Ukrainians who provided evidence against Mr. Trump's convicted campaign chairman, Paul Manafort. So right now, Rudy Giuliani has until October 15th to turn over those documents.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot going on right now. And there's a lot of other people that are supporting this, too. It's not just the Democrats. It's a lot of independents and now some Republicans as well.
Yeah, because Republicans have no choice at this point, because they have to choose the country over the party, because if they choose the party over the country, they're going to lose a lot of support in the future. And you don't want conservatives and Republicans to be known as the party of fascism, do you?
All right. Now, there were four inmates who escaped from Ohio, from a jail in Ohio, and they've all been caught in North Carolina. So that's Brian Martin, Christopher Clemente, Troy McDaniel, and Lawrence Lee III. They stole the keys to a corrections officer's vehicle. It's like a movie. And then they got found and caught at a hotel in a shopping center in Cary, North Carolina on Monday morning. So they were aided by a person on the outside, according to authorities, who met with them after they drove out of the jail in the stolen vehicle. That person that helped them was waiting in a different car. The inmates then used that car to run away. So they did find the vehicle, but not the inmates at first.
I'm still so confused how you break out of a jail just to get caught at a Red Roof Inn in North Carolina, and it's not no women in the hotel. Y'all could have just stayed in jail for that.
Did they catch all four? Because yesterday they only had three. Did they catch the fourth?
Yeah, they caught three. All four inmates have been caught now.
Are they caught all four now? Okay.
Yeah, all of them.
You know the other 369'd on that last dude?
Lee was captured later in the afternoon yesterday in Durham, North Carolina. So there you have it. And there's been a 14th vaping-related death in the United States that's been reported in Nebraska as well. So just letting y'all know, if you guys are out there vaping, thinking it's safer, think again.
We're going to talk to Dr. Oz about that a little bit, too, about vaping and the causes and effects of vaping.
All right, perfect. Well, that is your front page news.
All right, thank you, Yee. Like I said, Dr. Oz will be joining us.
That's right, and Dr. Oz had a great show yesterday because he was talking about how people just slapping vegan and vegetarian on everything, and it's some BS.
Mm-hmm.
And organic, too. Let's put that label.
So we'll talk to him about all that when we come back. Don't move. Dr. Oz! It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Dr. Oz.
He came?
That's right. And thank you, Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz actually came to my car show, and he walked around, took a zillion one pictures. You spoke to so many different people. So many people were grateful to talk to you, and thank you for coming
by. I had a
by.
Blast. I love the energy. The cars were spectacular. The music was, of course... wonderful. I came for the gumballs.
For the gumballs,
they
that's
had,
it?
They had gumballs mixed to the
you would
cars.
Come for the Dr. Oz.
Listen, that's how we're going to start, huh?
Last time I saw Dr. Oz, he was at Elvis Duran's wedding. You gave right? him a great speech. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to bring that to TV, man. The 7 fruitful tips for a healthy marriage?
The 7 hacks. I'll tell you what I did. I went around and I asked all the people that I respected who had long relationships about mm-hmm. what made it work.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some great feedback. There are a couple that really stuck in my mind. One was 1 + 1 = everything.
Okay.
Because when it's really in the right space, the regular rules of math and physics don't work. But the most powerful one, I think, was a line from scripture. It says, you know, it's just a golden rule, right? Treat your neighbors as you would want to be treated. But the word nice is not in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my plea to Elvis was, don't be too nice. Be honest.
Absolutely.
That's what keeps us going. Charlamagne's a walking, talking example of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
But people who are nice are great to have around, but they don't tell you what you have to hear.
Correct.
And in relationships, you can't afford that. That's a critical error.
I agree.
You
got
to be told exactly what needs to be said. Actually, there's another idea I like a lot, which was, marriage is really messy. Bring a plunger.
That's a good one.
Just a metaphor.
Now, speaking of messy, the last time, a couple of times, maybe about a year ago, Charlamagne, I went to the doctor for a procedure where he had tubes up his butt.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a colonic.
Yes.
When he had his colonic, when we spoke to you and you said, it's not necessary, you know, you don't need a colonic. And then I seen something recently that you just got a colonic.
No, he didn't get a colonic. Oh, my God.
I didn't get a colonic. I had a colonoscopy.
Oh, totally different.
Sorry. Colonic is for, colonic is for pleasure. No. You just like the feeling. No, for a colonoscopy, they give you propofol, which is what killed Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But they give it to under with a monitored setting, and then they sort of knock you down. They put a tube up your bottom and look inside your colon to see if you've got polyps, which you should do roughly every 10 years, starting at age 50. African Americans have to start earlier because
mm-hmm.
it's more common to get colon polyps if you're African American. So by 45, you need to start thinking about it. But colonics, which you, my wife, lots of other folks get, I'm not against colonics. They just don't help you that much. I mean, if you're healthy, when you go to the bathroom, you ever notice the shape of the poop?
I don't like looking at my own poop.
Oh, please. I know you look. There's no way you don't look.
Never.
Everyone looks. Mm-hmm. It's S-shaped because that's the cast of your intestine, your rectum.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the bathroom, you're emptying everything out of your rectum.
Correct.
And so if as long as it looks like that, you're already empty. You don't need to go up there and wash it out. What's the point?
And they try to tell you that colonics help with your colon. Like,
I just there's no evidence that they helped with the colon. And there, you know, there's some trivial, but risk. There's a risk when you put something up there that something bad could happen.
Right.
I just don't think it's necessary.
Are you good after you had your colonoscopy?
I'm good. Okay. I found that they've had two polyps, but they're both benign types.
Good.
So now I have a 10-year. That's the thing. Of all the tests we do in medicine, my favorite is colonoscopies, because not only does it diagnose the problem, it cures it.
Really?
You snip out the polyps while you're there.
Right.
You say you're good for 10 years?
10 years.
So it's like a warranty on your butt, basically.
Basically.
Warranty on your butt.
And you also
Charlemagne.
Recently revealed that your mom has Alzheimer's.
She has Alzheimer's, yeah.
Hey, and you said you felt guilty for not seeing the signs?
You know, think about Alzheimer's, and I've talked about the signs of forgetfulness and how to diagnose your relatives countless times on my show. You know, you've been on the show, Charlene, plenty. You see the big monitor, we call it the BAM, the big-ass monitor. We put these big words up there, like, look for this, this, this. But when it's your own family, it's a very different equation.
Mm.
You don't actually pay attention like you should. And I messed up. My mom was becoming really argumentative about simple things, like tests my dad needed to have. And I thought she was just getting ornery because she's getting older and, you know, that happens. Or your parents are stubborn. But this wasn't about stubbornness. She didn't understand what I was getting at. And that was a problem. And if I had diagnosed it earlier, I could have started to intervene earlier. And here's the big reason it matters. You can do a lot to prevent and slow down Alzheimer's. You can't reverse it. There's no cures for Alzheimer's. But what you eat, how you exercise, the supplements you take, we believe can impact on your progression of Alzheimer's. So why wouldn't you take advantage of it?
Like what? Like what are some of the things that you can do?
So leaning green.
You start now, if possible.
I am. I'm doing them all with my mom now. So leaning green, cutting back meat. When my mom eats meat, she really just gets a little bit out of it. So it helps her not to eat meat. Physical activity is vital. So you keep, for my mom, it's walking because she's not going to run.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that for my family, omega-3 fats and B vitamins, especially folic acid and B12 are pretty critical. And again, you can get genetic testing. If you guys had your genes tested for Alzheimer's?
I haven't, no.
Oh, please do this. This is the first of all, people don't do it because they're scared. They think they're going to get Alzheimer's if they have the bad genes. The truth is, if you know what you've got, you can deal with it accordingly because you can predict what's going to be beneficial.
Mm.
So let's say you have an Alzheimer's gene risk. Then you start to do the things I'm talking about much earlier, which you should probably do anyway because it keeps you sharper. But it's especially important if you've got the bad genes. My mom has two sets of bad genes.
So what are the beginning signs of Alzheimer's that we can look for? And when does it start?
It can start in your 60s, if it earlier, but certainly by 60, it'll start. And so it's not just forgetfulness. It's not realizing that you're forgetful. So if you lose your keys and because you put them in the wrong place and you're mad at yourself for losing them, that's normal. Forgetting the keys and then forgetting that you forgot the keys, that's the problem. See, my mom still doesn't know she has Alzheimer's. If I talk to her now, she'll know that she's not quite with it 100%, but she doesn't realize that she forgot that my daughter Daphne had a fourth granddaughter. That's the kind of thing she'll do.
My mother-in-law is the same. And what I realize is when we go places, like when we go on vacation, and it's sad because she doesn't remember the vacation, but when we go up in the air on a plane, it gets worse. I don't know what it is, but it gets worse, and she only remembers things that affected her. It's like a baby being born. If she wasn't around, she won't remember it. But it's the weirdest thing because you can't have conversations.
So the plane is an interesting observation. You take people with Alzheimer's out of their element, they completely decompensate. That's one of the other clues, Charlemagne. If you're in your own home with your normal setting and the normal relatives, everyone's the same routine every day, you can sort of get into it. You can fake your way through it.
Mm-hmm.
For my mom, losing my dad threw her off completely. My dad passed this year. They'll also do things like they won't wear the clothes the right way. Clothes backwards.
We've seen that a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Makeup's not applied the right way. And they don't realize that it's not right. Now, I mentioned them to you, and here sitting in the radio studio, it all makes sense. But when it actually happens in your family, it's hard to pick up.
I can see what you're saying, because you probably don't want to accept it.
Yeah, denial is a big part of it. But look, we lost our truth in my family. That's the bigger issue. Mm. I didn't want to mess up the day by saying, God, something's wrong with mom. And my sisters realized she wasn't dressing right, wasn't putting her makeup on right. You know, everyone saw part of the puzzle, but no one was willing to put their hand up and say, I'm going to be the brave person who raises the issue. Then you can all add on what you're noticing. And that's a problem, because then you waste a year of precious time. There are medications that can slow down the Alzheimer's. All that's delayed because you didn't jump on it.
And you know something that I realized, too? What I thought was bad, we moved it in with us, and it became worse because it was a different environment.
Yeah.
And although we were trying to show love and trying to do everything for her, it made her worse because I think she was more confused. Then when we moved her recently back to her home with Gia's brother, it's a lot easier for her now because she's used to that environment. She's been living there 20 years. She's more okay, which is the craziest thing.
Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. You just said it perfectly.
Are you ever scared that she would leave the house? That was my fear, that she would walk out and just walk and not know how to get back or be confused. That was my biggest fear of why we wanted to move her in with us.
Petrified of that fear. And she's never alone. Now, she might get, my mom can, if I call her on the phone right now, I call her every morning. You wouldn't even be able to tell. Mm-hmm. After you get past the pleasantries, you could tell.
Right.
But I have someone with her all the time. She's not allowed to leave the house without someone next to her for that very reason. I know she'd wander off. You know what the other thing she did? She would take off her jewelry and give it to strangers.
Really?
And people would say, well, you know, you're giving us, your wedding ring. What are you doing? And she was unaware. She couldn't tell who friend and foe was. And, so that there are many reasons. But imagine if she does that, she'll walk off and get lost and never find her way back.
Right. All right, we got more with Dr. Oz. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking with Dr. Oz. Charlamagne?
Well, you got season 11 about to start, right?
Who would have thought you started season 11?
Season 11. Jesus
Christ.
And they said it wouldn't work. Actually, that was Charlamagne said that.
Did you say that?
No, I never said that. Anything over touches works for the most part.
But I tell you, it's such a blast. I've had such a good time doing it. And this year, I'm making the theme, this 11, the number one. Uh-huh. I'm making it the power one. I want people to stop complaining about other people and other issues in the government or whatever. I want them focusing on what they can do to fix the problem. We don't realize how powerful we are. But when you actually, give people the credit that they deserve, and I'm actually deputizing them. I'm saying, listen, you guys go out and find evil and tell me about it. Food fraud, people doing bad things. There was a big article in the New York Times over the weekend on pedophilia. I mean, pedophilia is gargantuan.
You mean sex trafficking?
Sex trafficking and abuse of children. It's all under the same. And because of the ability to hide stuff online, this grown tremendously, and these companies can't stop it. It's up to us. When you see something strange and bizarre, say something about it.
Mm-hmm. I saw my homegirl just actually found this young lady who got caught up in a sex trafficking ring, and she found her because people were posting about the young lady. And so it's just like these sex traffickers, they don't want, it's like hot goods. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So they're like, oh, people looking for this one? Let's.
Is that how it worked?
That's what happened in this case.
See, I think it's a great idea. I social media is the way the sex trafficking grows because you can encrypt the pictures now and people can't tell who you are. I think we can use social media to put light on women who have been taken advantage of and save them. And I think who else to do this but us, the average person watching, listening right now. And I had a librarian on. She actually had the shows this week. Mm-hmm. A librarian who was passionate about this case of this family that was murdered. She found out what happened. Wow. She solved the case. A librarian. The clues are all out there, and especially in food fraud when, who else to figure this out? I mean, I got a letter from a fan of the show. I was the face of a keto diet, a fake keto diet.
Right.
They'd actually taken a picture of me talking about a treatment for narcotic addiction, and they hacked the picture, changed it, and made it look like I was selling a keto aid product. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's real people who found that and got online about it and started saying, this is all fake. We know Oz doesn't sell any stuff. This is obviously a fake ad. Take it down. That's how we're going to fix America.
Now, what about these weed pens and jewel pens that people are using? Some people are saying it's helping people stop smoking cigarettes. And some people are using it to smoke weed. What do you feel about those pens?
It's a great tragedy of this past year that the vaping industry did not clean up their act. Two things happened. First off, there were probably fake versions of products coming out in the market, many of them with the marijuana, but some of them with cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And they have things like vitamin E acetate, which is like grease, basically. But when it gets heated up to 500 degrees and you inhale it, it forms a grease in your lungs and destroys your lungs. Mm. So we've had 450 people get hospitalized for that. More than half a dozen people have died from it. So there's a fear there. But the bigger issue, the reason the government's cracking down on them, is these companies knowingly sold to children. Mm. And so when you make your inhaler device look like a thumb drive so the parents can't tell what it is, that you're trying to sell to kids. Mm. You make it, flavors that only children like, then you're not selling to adults anymore. So the U.S. government wanted to go after these guys anyway. This other contaminant issue is an excuse, but they're going to ban vaping now. It's unfortunate because I do think vaping works. Vaping helps people get off cigarettes. Vaping is a very efficient way of delivering medical marijuana in a dose that you want without all the other stuff around it. So I think it was a great invention, but because it wasn't policed well and the industry itself has to own some of this responsibility, people got, it's all about, are you a force for good or are you a force for evil? That's right. The basic issue. If you're a force for good, they'll give you some slack. Mm-hmm. They'll say, this is unfortunate. You got taken advantage of. We got to help clean this up. We'll give you another chance. If the government thinks you're a force for evil, they're going to take you out. Gotcha. And we're seeing that happen. San Francisco banned vaping. Michigan banned vaping. The federal government is, you know, Trump's said mm-hmm. that he's going to take this thing out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're messaging that they're going to be regulatory solutions. We don't want regulatory solutions for stuff like this. We want industries policing themselves. I'll give you another example, CBD. Mm-hmm. CBD.
I love it.
Yes, but if you have the real stuff, you love it. Half the products in our experience have been fake. Mm. Half of it. So if you have an illness and you're taking what you think is CBD and it's not working, you don't know.
The company I mentioned last time, Green Road, they saw you on here last time and they were one of the people that passed whatever test you were doing.
Yeah. There are some great companies out mm-hmm. there, and if you're making the good stuff, God bless you. I think CBD is effective. But because much of it's fake, it's a problem. And the other thing is it's being sold in doses oftentimes that can't work.
Now, what about HGH? I'm seeing a lot of commercials now that before HGH was a shot, now they have some type of liquid that people can use. Is HGH beneficial to the system?
HGH injections can be effective. Mm-hmm. I'm unaware of a pill or a sublingual solution that works. And I've seen these things for a long time. Mm-hmm. Again, I just don't think medically that it could work the way they say it works. It might have a benefit. It's just not the way they're claiming it.
They're all through Hollywood, though. That's why Tom Cruise looks still 20-something years old.
It's not the pills.
Yeah, it's the shot.
Yeah, the shot. Yeah. The shot has effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's effect for a lot of reasons. There are a lot of solutions like that. But listen, you're playing with fire. You got to be really careful how you dose it. These are hugely powerful hormones that you naturally make. So when you administer them with an injection, you're going to turn down your body's ability to make them. So you're just going to make sure that it's the right thing for you to do. And I always tell people that my biggest fear with a lot of these hormone replacements is you burn brightly but briefly. So I love hormone replacement for women going through menopause. Hugely beneficial because, you know, menopause is not just estrogen. It's about the progesterone. Progesterone is like Valium for the female brain. It calms you. It lets you get through mm-hmm. a process like holding a baby in your stomach for 9 months you couldn't normally cope with. So that all makes sense. And I think for women going through menopause, they can't sleep. They can't think right. My wife takes them. She loves it, and she thinks everyone ought to be on a plan. And not a lot of doctors know how to prescribe it the right way. Mm-hmm. So that all makes sense to me. But testosterone, be careful about. So Dog the Bounty Hunter is on the show this week.
Okay.
And Dog is this, you know, great personality.
He just lost his wife recently, right?
Just lost his wife mm-hmm. and been very sad about it. But he called, you know, I got called by his team actually about 2 weeks ago saying, listen, he just went to the hospital with terrible chest pain and he's not letting the doctors treat him. He signed out of the hospital against medical advice, which is basically now he's on the run from the law of medicine.
Right.
So now I'm the bounty hunter.
You're the bounty hunter. You got to find him.
I got to find him. So I find him. He said he won't go back without me getting him, you know, to go. So I go out there in Colorado. I found him. And I said, listen, if you want to live, if Beth would have wanted you to live, then you got to go back because I got to figure out what's killing you because you're a ticking time bomb right now. And to his credit, he did. So people act in their best benefit if you give them a chance. He was taking testosterone. The testosterone he was taking was elevating his levels too much. It also made his blood too sticky. And the problem that almost killed him was related to that.
Wow.
So you got to be careful with these hormone shots.
All right, we got more with Dr. Oz. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Howdy, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking with Dr. Oz. Charlamagne?
Now, I love the show you're doing today. Duped. Are you being tricked by veggie substitutions? Is your cauliflower crust pizza really cauliflower? I've been saying this. They're putting veggie and vegan on everything.
Yep.
You got right. Vegan oxtails.
Please.
Get the out of here.
Yeah, that show came out yesterday, but yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Cauliflower, if it's truly cauliflower pizza crust, it's fantastic for you. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the label, you'll see it's bread, more bread, some chemicals, other chemicals, and then cauliflower. Well, right. If it's the fifth or sixth ingredient, it's not cauliflower crust anymore. They have a little cauliflower in there. And you're right. Companies say it's the hot tomb, put vegan on there, put vegetarian, put cauliflower on there. That will take advantage of Americans. The biggest fraud we have in America is food fraud.
Yes.
People tricking you, saying that they got foods that are special, but they're really not. And that's why, I want to deputize the audience. If you see this stuff, call us or tell the company yourself. Say, guys, you're calling it cauliflower pizza crust or bread or whatever, but it's really not. And you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Companies listen to that stuff.
I've been saying this, even with the Kentucky Fried Chicken having the plant-based chicken. Chickens don't grow on trees.
Well, like, yeah.
It's still GMO.
Yeah, well, the other thing, as you know, when they fast food, well, first of all, crispy chicken mm-hmm. is what? It's fried chicken.
Fried chicken, of course.
Right, so, I mean, everyone sort of knows it, but it feels like it's better. And everyone, they love it, they're buying it all up. You're buying fried chicken, guys.
Oh, they just changed it. Okay, I get what you're saying.
I mean, just branding the phrase. Yeah. And then if you have the charcoal marks on the chicken, they're not grilled, they paint those on. You know when you buy grilled chicken?
Yeah.
They're not grilling that on a grill. I mean, they're cooking it on a grill, but they're not cooking it the way you think they're cooking it. Those little lines you see are painted on.
I never knew that.
Yeah, so, again, I don't mind it. It's not bad for you to paint the lines on. It's not dangerous, but tell us.
So what's paint? I mean, paint can't be healthy.
It's not
whatever they're putting on it. It's not paint, but...
It's a organic stuff. That's not dangerous.
Okay.
But recognize that they're not cooking it the way you think they're cooking it. Gotcha. It's not quite what it seems. And as long as you know what it is, people will still eat it, by the way. They like the taste. I'm not against fried chicken. Well, I wouldn't eat fried chicken, personally. I like the taste of it, though, so I understand why people do like it. But don't tell them it's crispy chicken without being honest about the fact that it's basically fried chicken.
What about Beyond Meat, Impossible Meats, Burgers?
So... I like them, but they're...
What is it, though?
They're different. One of them is made basically from beans, pea beans, mm-hmm. Pea proteins, and mm-hmm. the other one is from a compilation of vegetarian alternatives. And then they add a little... One of them adds a little heme molecule, which is the... It's iron, but it's what gives meat its flavor. And that's why it's so popular. Mm-hmm. And fast food restaurants are now getting these things. I don't think... They're a problem in terms of the fact that but it is processed. Mm-hmm. So be honest about the fact that it's not the same as meat. Meat comes from one source, and processed is going to be different. But they're not aiming for vegetarians. So 7% of the population, 10% of the population is vegan, vegetarian, etc. But there are a lot of people who eat meat who would eat less meat if they had something that tasted good enough to be an alternative to meat.
Right.
And that's what they're going after. And then the rest of the people are just going to keep eating meat. And I don't think meat's the most harmful thing in the world. I just think it's a problem for the environment. And it's definitely a problem if you got health problems like heart disease, et cetera, that you should be careful of. Alzheimer's, I'd be careful about it.
Mm-hmm.
But for most Americans, they can get away with a little bit of meat. I just don't think meat should be the main thing you eat every single day. It should be a special thing.
Now, what's this iHeartRadio lifestyle? What are you doing with iHeartRadio?
I love this. So every fall, I get to have all New York come out to an iHeart Festival where we just celebrate health. We have great music. Uplifting conversation, you know, the talks. I get to talk to the audience about their own health. The health fair is on November the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the Sheraton Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fantastic event. It's bigger and bigger every year. And it's free. You can't beat the price. Just walk in there, have a blast. iHeart puts it on. God bless you guys.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of DJs show up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a party. And again, it celebrates the power of one, the power of you to make a difference. Start with your own life, because if you can figure out your own health, you can change the world outside of it.
Gotcha.
And then once you figure that part out, move on and change the world around you.
Okay, and that is November 9th at the Sheraton Times Square, 12 to 4. And you will be speaking. Well, where can people get information and follow you and all that other good stuff about your shows and everything that's happening with Dr. Oz?
DrOz.com, at Dr. Oz. If you search Dr. Oz, you'll find all my social media. We got 12 million people who follow one way or the other. Join the battle. Fight for what's right for you. And let's make America a better place.
All right. Well, Dr. Oz, we appreciate you for joining
us. Indeed.
I love you guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's Dr. Oz. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, it's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Stacey Dash.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Stacey Dash ended up having to call 911, and that's after getting into a altercation with her new husband, Jeffrey Marty. Now, she had just gotten married last year,
mm-hmm.
and he's a lawyer. It's her fourth marriage, by the way, and cops were called to their house. They're saying that Stacey Dash is the one who called 911, and here's that call.
He's taking pictures of scratches on his arm that I did not put there, but I have red marks on my neck, so...
We're going to tell them exactly what happened. And if the info you want was not okay, fine. But I'm not scratching and hitting and all this stuff. I'm the one with the scratches.
Sorry, what's going on there, ma'am?
They're just talking to each other about how to put me in jail. They're arguing. They're still telling me, saying what a bitch I am. I'm the stepmother. How they all hate me. They're just disrespectful, awful children. He's a lawyer, so now he's telling them exactly what to say to the police.
She's saying that he and his three kids conspired to have her arrested, and that's to cover up his brutality against her. Now, Stacey Dash is the one who ends up getting arrested because her husband had scratches on his arms. She didn't have any visible marks on her arms. And so here's what happens as she's getting arrested.
Am I being arrested?
I'll explain it to you in a second, okay? You have a concealed carry or anything in the state of Florida?
No.
Okay. You ever been arrested in the state of Florida?
No.
You ever been arrested in general?
No.
Where were you born?
Bronx.
What do you do for work?
I'm an actress.
Okay. Like TV or?
Both.
What do you act in?
TV, movies.
Well, like, you know, like
I
any
did
like.
I a film called Clueless.
Are you in any shows right now or anything?
No. Oh. I'm taking a break.
I did politics for a while.
Don't ask me all that if you're going to arrest me, man. Just arrest me.
Any shows I've heard of?
Any shows I've heard of?
Clueless came out in 95. Don't none of those cops give a damn about no Clueless.
He's like anything current.
When you, listen, when you're talking to the police, especially in Florida, she was better off saying she used to work for Fox News.
She should have said that. Politics. She said, you guys are doing a fine job. That's what you should have said.
You guys are doing a fine job locking up us black folks for assaulting white people.
And
the guy
like,
was
oh.
white. He was white?
I don't know what her husband looks
I'm
like.
Sure
but
white.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. All right, I'll Chelsea Handler, let's talk about her memoir, Life Will Be the Death of Me. That is going to be actually developed into a TV series, so congratulations to Chelsea Handler.
Okay, drop on the clues bones for Chelsea Handler.
She'll be executive producing that as well. That book just came out April 9th, and so, of course, it's another bestseller, so congratulations to her. She's on lip service right now, by the way. Our podcast just dropped on Friday, and that features Chelsea Handler doing what she does.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 50 Cent, he's talking about continuing the story of Power with the Power Book 2 Ghost. Here's what he had to say to Hollywood Reporter in studio.
Yeah, it's the final season of Power Book 1. And then Power Book 2 starts 48 hours later.
All right, so I'm sure we're going to be excited to see that. Right? For everybody who's disappointed that Power's ending.
I am, but I don't want to see no more ghosts. I'm so tired of the St. Patrick's. They can get rid of all of the St. Patrick's. All the St. Patrick's can die, every single one.
Now he also has his upcoming ABC series coming called For Life.
I got a new show that is set to premiere February 23rd on ABC. It's called For Life. It's loosely based on Isaac Wright Jr.'s life story.
Uh-huh.
And he was sentenced to 70 years plus life in New Jersey. He was the first person convicted under the Kingpin statute and wrongfully convicted. It's a wild story. The district attorney ended up killing himself. The arresting officer came clean, told the truth about what was happening. It's just nuts.
Why 50 sound like he's doing a Quiet Storm? Like he's about to introduce some slow songs. Like 50 Cent Thug Love.
There's also rumors that he bought the rights to Tekashi's story and might be doing a biopic on that, but we don't know whether or not that's true. So
well, we don't know how that story's going to end yet either, though.
We shall see what happens.
I mean, nothing wrong with buying the rights now, but you know.
And Schoolboy Q tweeted out the 6ix9ine movie going to be crazy. I hope I get a role in it. I just want to play one of the snitches. I can definitely get away with playing 6ix9ine on the BET version. I'm all in. So.
The 6ix9ine movie should be called It Ain't Hard to Tell. I'm telling you, he's really missing the moment. He should just remix everything. Remix Nas, It Ain't Hard to Tell.
But he got
to
get home first. When he gets home, I'm sure he'll do all of that.
Yes.
All right, so 50 Cent, in the meantime, also said that he's on an album that Eminem is working on. So I guess that's breaking news that Eminem's working on a new album. And he talked about this in L.A. doing an interview.
I got another record from M. He sent me for his new album. And then Ozuna, a Latin artist, sent me a record. So we're working with him.
Yeah, somebody told me they heard some new Eminem music produced by Dr. Dre.
Really? And Bootleg Kev and DJ Head, that's who was doing that interview with 50 Cent.
How did they say it sounded?
I don't remember. I just remember they told me they heard it.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Jeezy is planning to open his own sports agency.
Shout out to Jeezy.
It's called Sports 99, and he'll be representing NBA and NFL players, according to sources in the league.
Okay, drop on the clues bonds for Jeezy. Young Jizzle.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss E. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
Listen, man, 4 after the hour is a teachable moment, you know what I'm saying, about how you always got to hold your dogs down and do right by your dogs.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
What's up, y'all? It's DJ Envy here to tell you about my new favorite app, Earning. Earning gives you access to the money you earned right away. No hidden fees, no interest, and most importantly, no more waiting. Download the Earning app and choose your own payday. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Erica Campbell. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, you might know her from the group Mary Mary.
Yes.
You and your sister, how did you start that group and create that group, and how did you get into the music industry for people that don't know?
We were just two girls from Inglewood who sang. I happened to meet my husband, Warren Campbell, who came to a play that we were in and heard us sing. We happened to meet because he thought I was cute. And then we started talking about music, and he was like, y'all should be a group. Now, we had been singing all our life, but never as a group. So that was his suggestion. And then he decided to call us Mary Mary, and we wanted a reason to keep the name. Of course, two Marys in the Bible, one considered perfect by many and the other not so much. So we're able to tell people that it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, your life can be changed by the power of the love of Jesus. And then we had an opportunity to be signed by two labels. We flew to New York, like no money, stayed in one hotel room. It was either Sony or Bad Boy. And so we met with both companies and chose to go with Columbia.
Why not Bad Boy? Some negative energy or bad energy?
Y'all prayed on it.
And no, it wasn't.
And God said go with
it. It wasn't right. It just wasn't the right deal for us. It wasn't what we were looking for, mm-hmm. you know, at that time. But, you know, Puff is all good. Mm-hmm. Still cool to this day. Yeah, I mean, and God just blessed us. We wanted to make sure that we were singing a kind of gospel that could reach the people who didn't always go to church on Sunday morning.
Correct.
Because that's my father's ministry was. We went to prisons growing up. We were always in the hood, always telling people Jesus loved them and praying for people. So we wanted to do that kind of music, and I feel like we were blessed to do that.
What happened with the group? You still owe the label another album.
Uh-huh.
And you guys not recording.
Well, you know, life shifts and stuff. We had a reality show, and my sister went through some issues in her marriage and just wanted to make sure the family was all the way on point. And then mm-hmm. she felt like she had some soul work that she needed to do. And you can't ever be mad at anybody trying to be better from the inside out. So I was like, well, okay, so what am I going to do now? And I realized I just had to stand on my own 2 feet. It was great for me because I had spent so much time with my sister, always together, the girls, everything. Our birthdays are two days apart. We are married 1 year apart. We had babies. So everything was side by side. And I just think I needed some time to be Erica, just Erica, not Erica and Tina, not one of the girls. And so I've been able to really tap into who I am, feel confident in that, and write this book, write this music, and just kind of move forward and not feel bad for it.
Let's talk about this book, More Than Pretty.
Yes.
Doing the soul work that uncovers your true beauty. What does that soul work look like?
It looks like being honest with the good and bad of you. It looks like not suppressing the things that have happened to you, the things that have hurt you. I think sometimes we're so busy moving forward and trying to achieve and trying to do this and that till we don't really pay attention to our own wounds. Mm-hmm. Just kind of slap a Band-Aid on it and keep going. But that stuff is still there. Mm. And so I don't think you can be fully happy, truly happy, until you deal with some stuff from your past, man. And sometimes that requires conversations that are difficult.
Therapy.
A lot of therapy, a lot of prayer, a lot of meditation just by yourself. I think a lot of note taking, and I think this book was very therapeutic for me, things that I hadn't even realized that I had come to a resolve. And I was like, oh, Erica, you're smarter than you think you are. You've overcome more than you thought you did. It's easy because I sing for Jesus. So everything is, oh, in the morning you'll be all right and right. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like, I don't really feel that. And let me figure out why. What am I upset about? Why am I just going with the flow? Why am I saying praise the Lord just for the sake of saying it? And so I had to find out what was real. And this book allowed me to do that. And I feel so, so good. And I want to share it with as many people as I can mm-hmm. because, I mean, depression is crazy. Mm-hmm. People committing suicide. And I think if you learn to be grateful for the small things and realize who you are and that God created you and there's greatness on the inside of you, even if your life was jacked up, right. all of that can still serve a purpose. Maybe that's your story. Maybe that's your movie, your book, your whatever. And you have to kind of press past that to get to the best part of you. And that's what this book is doing for me, and I hope that's for others.
Yeah, when you talk about, like you're trying to get people mentally healthy.
I do.
Yeah, I do.
How you think is everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell people, don't pray, Lord, I want you to bless me. Oh, but if you don't. Like, you just countered yourself, and that's what people do.
Right.
I want a great marriage, but let me get this prenup, and let me get this all in order in case this trip. I mean, like, you're not even preparing for greatness. Like, we speak like that my child is going to be terrible at two, terrible twos. Like, why do we do those small things that speak so loudly? We have to be careful with our words, and I think they're very crucial from a small age. We can't say to our sons, oh, the girl's going to be crazy for him. You prepping them to be a hoe. Right. Or if you see a little girl and she growing into her curves, you know they're going to be after her. Why can't we teach them to treat their bodies like queens and kings? Why can't we speak that? A lot of times we speak negative.
That's why we gotta stop saying n- so much.
We do.
I do it. It's hard because sometimes these is just being. It's just, you know. But we gotta just change that. It's like a low frequency word.
Yeah, it is a low frequency word. Absolutely true. And when you learn to force yourself to live on a higher level, I mean, I think you rest easier at night because you know when you've been acting a fool. You know when your heart is wrong.
Like
you've been, you know, acting crazy mm-hmm. online, saying crazy. You know, you be like, man, I don't even really feel good about that. And I want to sleep well at night. Does that mean I'm going to be perfect every time? No, but I'm going to try.
I wanted to talk about something that you were talking about. Reveal, repair, remove, and replace.
Yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
So when I did my first solo record, I put out a little more Jesus. I had this team that I thought was amazing. And I used Mary's team because that's what I was used to. And the it was new people and old people, and they just didn't mix at all. And I was literally 2 weeks before releasing. Now, everybody knows when you're releasing something, your team is crucial. Mm-hmm. You got deadlines. You got all kind of stuff to meet. I lost three people 3 weeks, 2 weeks before the record was coming out. Mm. But I had prayed because it was so much turbulence and so much turmoil in the team. I was like, Lord, reveal who's not for me and who's not supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my prayer. That God would reveal who was not supposed to be there, remove them, repair, and then replace them. God definitely replaced them with an amazing, amazing team. And I didn't think it was possible to be done with such a small team, but the team was small, passionate, and powerful, and we got it done. The record came out. It was number one for like 13 weeks. It was interesting because one of my first comments on iTunes was, oh, no, honey, you don't need a little more Jesus. You need a little more Tina. Because you're the Lord pretty one, and she's the singer.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, and I was like, oh, that hurt a little bit. But I just kept going. I could have allowed that to, you know, make me angry and go live and tell people off. That was that person's opinion. That's fine. But I think that, you know, the success and the Grammy and the keep going, all of that spoke louder than that person's opinion. And that's what that prayer allowed me to do, to even reveal stuff about me that's not good. Even though life moves us fast, I just try to take my time so God can always reveal to me who I am, who's around me, mm-hmm. replace them, repair the relationship if possible, because I don't believe in making enemies. Mm-hmm. Anybody that doesn't work for me, we still cool to this day. And then replace them with who's supposed to be there.
All right, we got more with Erica Campbell from Mary Mary. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Howdy, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Erica Campbell. You might know her from the group Mary Mary. You talked about self-pleasuring.
You saw that, huh?
And then you talked about, you know, what you were thinking. Where does God go when you're self-pleasuring?
Hey, man, where does he go?
And it made me think about that. So what made you think about self-pleasuring and where God goes when you're taking care of yourself?
Somebody asked me the question, was it wrong? Was it right? Now, I know some churches say for the brothers listening to keep you from slipping up, so go on and handle yourself. I heard some women say, I take care of myself before I go out on a date. So, you know, I think about purity, and purity happens before the actual action of whatever you do, whatever you watch, whatever you listen to, whatever you do with yourself. Your mind being a place of purity is very crucial. But I think in our society today, everything is sexualized. I mean, you could be selling chicken and they're going to have a pair of boobs there. Like, it's just everywhere. And so I think guarding your mind and guarding your thoughts and treating sex and sexuality as something beautiful that God created that's supposed to be otherworldly, and you come together with somebody and you just create this beautiful things where your lives come together, mm-hmm. it's not so cheap. I mean, I got an amazing, fine, wonderful husband. I don't have to. I got a husband there. Now, I know for singles, it may be a different story. But there are married people who, they just rather handle it themselves. I just can't imagine what your husband feel like. I got to compete with your toys, and I got to become, it's just too much.
Yeah, and God not going nowhere, I don't think. The same place he go when you have sex, I'm sure he go when you masturbate.
Well, no, I don't think he's.
I don't think he's watching us.
No, he gives us free choice. You are stupid. He gave us a choice. So you can choose him or not. The Bible does say that God cannot look on sin. So I do think God turns, when we make the wrong choices and do the wrong thing, I think he wishes that we would do the right thing. But I think he's too holy. He's too righteous. He's too awesome to participate in the foolery that men or women choose to do.
So you don't think people should masturbate at all?
Listen, that's between you and God. I just think when you are trying to live a pure life, then I think, yeah, you should, don't lessen it, don't cheapen it. I remember when I was a young girl and I was in church, one of our youth leaders explained it this way. She said, I'm not telling you that sex isn't amazing and beautiful and wonderful. She said it is. But imagine all through your teenage years, you sleep with all these dudes and Tony blows your mind, but you get married to Richard and Richard ain't as good as Tony. Now you in your marriage trying to combat all this stuff in your mind. And I think that's what happens, especially when you are like overly sexual before you get married. The person that you're with now has to combat with all this sexual information and all this inventory that you didn't deal with, because getting married don't make it go away. I know people think, let me settle down and get married, but you never deal with your whys or your whos or get those people out of your soul, because those are soul ties.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out why you can't be settled with one person. You got to get your soul and your mind right and get to a pure place of just wanting to be with one person. I think that's why God, when he said it's not good for man to be alone, he knew that we were created to be in covenant, in community, in relationship. Before he made a church, he made a man and a woman. He made a marriage. Mm-hmm. He made a family. And I think that it was a beautiful design, you know? Right. And so we can't mess it up.
So are you saying don't masturbate before marriage?
Is that all you heard?
Or is it okay to masturbate during marriage? Or you just think masturbation is wrong, period?
No, I don't. Listen, I'm not judging nobody. If that's what you're, I'm just talking about what God created. Mm-hmm. I feel like God created something beautiful, and it's always the enemy's job to pervert it, to twist it, to corrupt it, to make it filthy. And no matter what, he gave us free will. We can choose him or not. Mm-hmm. But I believe there is greatness in that obedience, in that faith. You know, the scripture says all things are possible to them that believe. So if you believe, you can't do what you want.
Hey, let's switch gears a little bit. What did you think about your sister voting for Trump?
I knew that was coming. I was like, she was like, well, it was either a clown or a snake. I was like, no, nah, man, no. Nah. I just didn't really understand it at all. I mean, she sees now, we talk about it now. She was like, hey, I got duped like everybody else. I said, not everybody else. Everybody didn't vote for him. Some things we talk about, and some, I mean, I allow her to make her own choices, you know, and I think whoever voted for him, I think they see now.
Right.
Unless you're just crazy.
Some people are crazy because they won't admit that they made a mistake.
Yeah, I don't know. She admits it. Yeah. She's like, no, that wasn't.
Not at all. What do you think about Kanye jumping into gospel music?
I am so excited about it. Mm-hmm. I think it's so good for many reasons, because he doesn't have to. He don't need, you know, he don't need to do this. He's already a bajillionaire. So for him to do this, it has to be, in my opinion, a God move in his life. I'm sure his team and people are like, no, are we sure about this now? You know what I mean? Can we sell this? But he came to California Worship Center. When I say they were the nicest, he was most polite and kind. They came early. Hearing the praise in the building was absolutely amazing. I think he's just trying to figure this God thing out. And I think as many people should pray for him as possibly can, because he's going to come under attack. You know, people asking why he's doing it. But here's what I say to the Christians who think that he doesn't have a right. I don't think there's a bad hallelujah. I don't think you ever say thank you, Jesus, and God go, nah, I don't want that from you. I think God always appreciates someone showing him gratitude. So him going around the country singing gospel music and including people that probably wouldn't necessarily walk in a church building, I think it's good.
In your chapter, Deceived and Distracted, you talk about how you caught two ushers at church talking about you and your body and your sex life.
How
did that impact you?
Oh, man. I was 16 and I walked past this usher and I heard her say she probably having sex. And I wasn't.
Lord have mercy.
I just happened to be, you know, a little curvy for a young girl. And it made me insecure. It made me wonder, was I doing something wrong? And I love my church family. I didn't grow up in a mean, judgmental church. Like, I loved those people. We had so much fun. The youth ministry was crazy, insane, bunch of young people. And so I got super insecure. And, you know, a number of things you go through life. You make some bad choices because you feel like this is what they think of me anyway. And then I was writing this book and I realized she might not have even been talking to me. She could have been talking about somebody else. I think a lot of times that happens.
You're projecting your insecurities on somebody else.
Yeah, or we take ownership of people's words when we don't have to. And so now I have a more duck-like quality. I just let the words roll off like water on a duck's back. I just don't own people's negativity at all, in no way, shape, or form. I don't take people personal, whether they are angry towards me. It's a reflection of where they are, not me. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm being me, living my best life as best I can. And so, you know, I pray for people. Even people who leave nasty comments, I go, God bless you, sis.
You pray for everybody? Is this somebody that you will not pray for? And somebody that
I pray for everybody.
Forget?
Everybody.
I mean, you have to know that sometimes I really think God does send some prayer requests to spam folks. I think he does ignore some people.
Like, would you pray for 6ix9ine? Really, would you pray for 6ix9ine?
Help him, Lord Jesus. Help the man know, God, that you change his
goal. Because he know not what he do.
He know what he doing. He's trying to cover himself.
Yeah. He's trying to cover himself. Wasting God's time.
There is no prayer that wastes God's time.
You don't think so?
No. I think you got to go back to your heart and your source and find out who you are and whose you are and rest in that.
Word. We appreciate you for joining us.
That's right. More Than Pretty is out right now.
Now, you know, we got to leave with a prayer now.
Come on. Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Lord, I thank you for the Breakfast Club. I thank you for each and every person in this room right now. I thank you that you are keeping them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. I thank you, God, that their destiny and purpose is in your hands. I thank you that greatness is on the inside of them and they understand it, realize it, and see it. I thank you, God, that they will feel your love, your power, your presence, God, and in their moves that they make and in their decisions. I thank you for blessing their family, their children, their loved ones. In Jesus' name, I thank you for covering them and keeping them, God, safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
More Than Pretty out right now. Make sure you get it. It's Erica Campbell. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
So J-Lo, as you all know, she'll be doing a Super Bowl halftime show. Well, in the same day that they announced that and she landed that, she also has launched her own perfume, Promise by Jennifer Lopez. So she got a lot going on right now, getting that money. All right, now Antonio Brown is going to wage war against the Patriots, against the Raiders, and against the NFL in general. They're saying that he wants to recoup more than $61 million that he lost from being released by the Patriots and by the Oakland Raiders, and including the fines that he got while with the Raiders. So let's see what happens if he can make that go down.
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know why he doesn't get his money. I don't know what the word guaranteed means to anybody else in this room. But I think that when something says guaranteed contract, then he should be guaranteed to get his money.
He's trying to get that $29 million in guaranteed money that he was supposed to make with Oakland before being fined for conduct detrimental to the the team, and then also the $9 million signing bonus. They're trying to avoid paying that after the Patriots cut him.
Now you got to give him a signing bonus now.
It's just so crazy to watch the ebbs and flows of Antonio Brown, because when he was with the Oakland Raiders and then he got dropped and he got signed to the Patriots, everybody was bigging him up saying it's just chestnut checkers and strategic move and this and that. Then he get dropped from the Patriots. Now he's lost, like, what, $30 million in guaranteed money? That. Now everybody's like, he's stupid.
My question is this. Are there, in your contract, right, with the NFL, I know they have all kinds of things about any moral clauses. So does that mean that you could lose it if it's a moral
clause? Yeah, that could
clause?
Be a moral clause.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what the moral clause would be in the NFL, because you got people in the NFL who have actually killed people and still play. Like, literally have killed people and still play. So what is the moral clause? I don't know what morality would be in the NFL.
But doesn't it have to be found guilty? Doesn't it have to go through a court system? That's the only thing I'm...
Maybe they don't like the tweets or the threats and stuff like that. Maybe it doesn't have to necessarily to do with that, because I think they hadn't dropped him when that happened. It was his response.
Because I guess you're right. Because Antonio Brown can say that wasn't me. That was fake.
I think he should get his money, though. Guaranteed should mean guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Just like in the NBA.
All right, now, Shaquille O'Neal, he is going in on Damian Lillard. He did a diss track. He came out of his rap retirement to actually go in on Damian Lillard. Now, here's what Damian Lillard said on the Joe Budden podcast.
I think I rap better than Shaq. I've heard Shaq stuff. People wasn't looking at it like this a real rapper. It was like, that's Shaq rapping.
Well, Shaquille O'Neal said, I accept all challenges. He put accept. I think he meant accept. Mm-hmm. But anyway, here was his diss song to Damian Lillard.
Wrong with these little cats. I can tell they little listen to their little raps. Always guided by their little max contract. Dame got a little money when it comes to Shaq. You see this flow, got a little Hall of Fame on it. Dame shoot jumpers, Shaq still banged on it. Are you kidding me? Lyrically, not physically, mentally, vividly. Seen it before, you might give it to me. I'm on a yacht in Little Italy. Riddle me when you was young. Did you see my MVP like a trilogy? MVP candidates, you are not one. Platinum plaques on my wall, go and get you.
First of all, you're not going to sit here and act like Shaq is not the greatest NBA rapper of all time. I'm not even going to sit here and stand for that kind of slander, because you might be people that flow better than him and have better delivery. But when it comes to creating songs, you name me an NBA player who had better songs than Shaquille O'Neal.
Not one.
Please go on Tidal and Google Shaquille O'Neal and go listen to No Hooks with Redman and Method Man. What was the joint with Biggie's
joint? The joint with Biggie, something with elevators in him. I don't remember. What was that?
Elevators. What was the joint with Biggie, man?
Can't Stop the Rain.
Can't Stop the Rain.
Can't Stop the Rain.
Outstanding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When my biological didn't bother.
The mm-hmm. Fushnikins.
The Fushnikins was when he did his verse on What's Up, Doc. Like, come on now. Drop on the clues bomb for Shaquille O'Neal. Mm-hmm. Damian Lillard can rap his ass off. Don't get me wrong. But we're not going to ever disrespect Shaquilla. We ain't going to disrespect Shaq Fu now.
And since we're talking about Shaquille O'Neal, let's talk about Basketball Wives Dallas, according to the Jasmine brand. That is going to be spinning off. So, you know, I guess Basketball Wives is doing well enough that they franchise it to Dallas now.
Have you been watching Basketball Wives with Evelyn Lozada and OG and all of them?
So I've been catching bits and pieces of it.
I'm ashamed to say that I've been watching it. It's good.
It's hard for me to watch sometimes with Jennifer, because I knew her mom. And when her mom died and they were acting so nasty to her about it, I can't imagine how that would affect a person if their mom passes away, and seeing her cry over that, you know, that's sad to me.
So, I wasn't talking about that part. I was talking about the Evelyn Lozada.
That's what I'm saying. It's been hard for me to even.
Evelyn Lozada doing all types of gyrations and stuff.
I saw her patting her poom.
Yep.
All right. Now, R. Kelly, he is upset because his girlfriends can only visit him one at a time. So his attorney has filed a motion arguing for a release on bond. He says, yeah, is that crazy that he's in jail and he still is, like, going in like this? So he's facing charges in New York on racketeering, kidnapping, forced labor, and sexual exploitation of a child. And in Chicago, it's federal sex crime charges. So he could go back to jail for nearly 30 years.
It's safe to say that, like, something is mentally wrong with R. Kelly, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's something not connecting in that brain of his.
Yeah.
He's only allowed one unrelated person to visit him in jail. So even so, he can only have one of those two women come at a time. And he's also still trying to get out. Now, according to his attorney, he's having health problems in jail as well. And he's not getting adequate medical treatment. All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee. And that is your Rumor Report.
You know what else is interesting about R. Kelly? If people could get to the root of what his trauma is, I bet you a lot of people could learn from it. Because I was reading this story about John F. Kennedy. And how John F. Kennedy was such a womanizer because he saw his father be such a womanizer. And like his father used to literally say he would get physically sick if he couldn't be with a woman, if he wasn't with a different woman every 3 days. And then John F. Kennedy used to say he used to get headaches when he couldn't be with a different woman every few days. I guarantee you it's something like that in R. Kelly's life.
Yeah, well, we already know. They said there were claims that his sister molested him and, you know, all kinds of things that happened to him in his past. So feels like he definitely needs to get some help, finally.
All right, well, thank you, Yee, for that rumor report.
No problem.
Now, shout out to you guys over at Revolt. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. Get your request in. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Man. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Sir Darryl.
Sir Darryl?
Sir Darryl.
I'm calling Sir Darryl.
Sir, yeah. Well, that's his real name.
No, sir, just sir.
Just sir. It's just easier
sir.
That way.
Yeah. Just sir.
Darryl. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's his real name.
Taking me back to grade school, man. Come on, man. Come on, Envy.
His first name is Sir Darryl.
That's oh, you know what? That's crazy. Your name is Sir Envy.
My name is not no
Isn't
sir.
Isn't that your name on Snapchat or something?
No.
Sir Darryl sounds like a n- from the hood who's trying to sound fancy. I mean, Sir Darryl.
Well, let me tell you this. My grandmother
yes,
gave me
is.
That name.
Yes, it is.
I don't know. I haven't had Snapchat in a long time.
It's like some family
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what, Sir Darryl is the name that you're going to call me then. Let's just start. Let's start there.
Oh. Sir Darryl?
Yeah, that name means that you got to respect me.
Henceforth, my
God. Goddamn right.
Yeah, you can say it with a joke all you want, but at the end of the day, it's... My name.
Oh, hello, Sir Darryl. No, no need for hostility.
It's good to meet you, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. Okay. We've met each other before.
We have.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess last time I wasn't that
sir.
But, you know. How y'all doing, man? Y'all having
What's
a good
happening?
Day?
Well, I've had a long New York week, man.
I know. You've been working hard with
yeah,
this
definitely.
New album, Chasing Summers.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Which is, by the way, an amazing album. You know, I
Thank
told you.
You,
I listen to that while I'm cleaning the house, I'm in the car. It's a nice vibe.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Do you feel like the reception for the second one was better than the first one?
Definitely. And we were much more prepared, too. I think the first time around, we were just kind of like, not testing the waters, but just putting our best foot forward. And this time around, we did the same thing, but we were a little more prepared. We had more help. You know what I mean? So it's definitely a step up from November. And, it, I mean... I'm happy.
It's good to hear more help. Music.
More help with, like, just formulating ideas. I had more musician help. You know what I mean? I had more players come in. I got better features on this project. November, I only had one feature. On this one, I got Dot. I got Miss Jill. I got Wayne. We got some good help on this project. So,
got you.
Yeah, it's good to hear R&B music. It's good to hear real R&B music. I thought it was dope. But even the video was dope.
Thank you, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, shoot, it's a lot of good music coming out. Ari Lennox just dropped an amazing project. Mm-hmm. Got cats like Lucky Day working, man. Miguel's still out here working.
Miguel's
Chris Brown
too.
Killing right now. Mm-hmm. Indigo is crazy. And
Daniel Caesar, you like him?
Yeah, I love Daniel Caesar, man. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Daniel, man. It's a lot of cats out here doing their thing, and I'm just trying to find my way. You know what I mean? I think that's the hardest part with all this is just being yourself and being unique and trying to, like, you know, make your own path. A lot of people kind of do what everybody's doing. I think that's, you know, common in the music industry, and that scares me.
That's one good thing about TDE. With all the artists, they let their artists breathe and live.
Yeah, for sure.
They don't try to be like, go into this category, go into this box. It's kind of like you just breathe, and when people connect and when they catch, they catch.
Yeah. And you guys don't rush projects out either.
Nah.
And sometimes I'm sure as an artist, that could be a little frustrating. Like, I'm ready to drop.
No, for sure. I was telling somebody the other day, I've had two albums in between November and this one that both had names and artwork and all that stuff, and it was like, nah.
What do you mean?
We had to get it right. We present things all the time.
Oh, you mean to the label?
Yeah.
And they say no.
Yeah.
Who is it, TDE or Interscope?
Top. I'm not signed to Interscope. I'm RCA.
Got you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So,
but the major don't even matter.
I mean, the major matters for sure, but we like to come into the situation prepared. So Top's not going to go, you know, present anything to anybody until he feels like it's right. You know what I mean? That goes with, you know, everybody on our team. We all got to be on the same page.
So and you guys have a good track
projects?
Record.
What
so.
Was left off of those projects that you felt weren't right?
Records that aren't as good as the records that are on the project. You know what I mean? You got to work through it sometimes. And as an artist, you know, everything is your baby. So I got 50 songs that I listen to every day that I go, I want this to drop. But it might not happen. It might not be the song. So, you know, I definitely have a team around me that doesn't give a fuck about my ego and doesn't care how I be feeling. They want to make sure we putting the best foot forward. And we did it this time. And I took a step back and let a lot of people, you know, be more hands-on in the, you know, finishing touches, you know, part of the, you know, creative process.
Well, as an R&B artist on a rap label sometimes, don't you got to be like, look, y'all niggas rap. I do singing. Call SZA. Let me ask SZA what she think about this.
Nah, not even, man. I think musicianship, you know, it doesn't, you know, that shouldn't tell you, you know, what you can, you know, tell people what they can do and not do. Like Dot, as a rapper, should be able to tell me what's whack or not in R&B.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dot's
music. It's music. Mm-hmm. But I mean, anybody in TDE, if I ask Q something about music, he's gonna give me an answer that I can trust. You know what I mean?
Got you.
So you know, I got faith in these guys. So I go to them when I need them, and I'm confident in myself too. So I do a lot of like, you know, creation first, and then like what you think it is.
That's good that you don't have an ego, because most people would be like, nah, this is my creation, this is what I want, I'm the one. But yeah, but the fact that you can open up and be like, well, let me see what he's talking about, let me see if I can change this up.
And it's an R&B album that hip hop heads could listen to also.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so,
because there's a lot of topic matter on here that I feel like everybody in general can relate to.
Yeah.
Now you the first song is Hair Down, right? Mm-hmm. And that is about kind of letting your guard down.
Yes.
Is what I get from it.
No, for sure.
So how difficult is that to do, like, for you as far as in relationships and in work? To trust people enough that you can feel like, okay, I can let my guard down around you.
It gets easier the older I get. You know, when I was younger, I just, you know, I was always, like, flame first. I was always going too gung-ho on things, you know what I mean? And I was always worried about what other people thought about me. That's what the song's really about.
Mm-hmm.
Just being confident in yourself and being confident in decisions you make for yourself, you know what I mean? And not being afraid of what other people are going to think about you, or, you know what I mean? And I wrote that record on the road when we were at the championship tour, and I was, like, opening up, and it was, like, Q and Rock and SZA and Dot were coming on after me. And, you know, I just had a lack of confidence. I was having trouble, like adapting. You know what I mean?
Like how you said that, though.
What?
It was coming on after me. I like how you said that. You didn't say he was opening
that. Yeah.
You said they were coming on after
me. I was, like, in the middle. We had Lance, and then we had, no, it was, like, Lance, then me, and then I think, who was after me? Soul, and then Q, and no, Rock, then Q, then SZA. So I was just in a place where I was just like, man, this shit is cool. I got to find my way to, you know, be confident. And music is my therapy. So when I wrote that, I was literally like writing out how I was feeling at the time. And it translated, man. Thank God. Because sometimes, you know, you might write some shit and it doesn't work like that.
But who do you let hear your music before you put it out besides Ty? Like, I know you used to engineer for Tyrese. You call back Tyrese and be like, big bro, listen to this?
No, I don't call Tyrese.
Why not? Tyrese is a...
next question. Nah. Shout out to Tyrese. Much respect and love.
No.
Much respect and love. You already know what it is.
Nah, you said that hard, bro. You was like, no.
Come on, sir.
That's because it was random.
Look. It's been 10 years since I worked for Reese, man.
But Reese is an R&B legend.
No, he is, definitely. But he's not the nigga I go to for anything. You know what I mean? So... You know what I mean? I call my older brothers. My older brothers write songs, and my older brothers produce and stuff like that. So I call them if I really want somebody that's going to give me a unbiased, honest, like, this shit whack. You know what I mean? I'll call him. But I've been doing good as of lately. My brothers, Absolutely. They be like, man, this shit hard. So now I'm trying to, like, figure that shit out. But my team is good, man. Mm-hmm. They're as honest as they can be with me, and I ask for that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I'm a perfectionist when it comes to this, and I'm way too hands-on for people to bullshit me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm still mixing these records. I'm still cutting my own vocals. I don't got no assistant. You know what I mean? So, you know, whenever I do, like, let people in, it's somebody I trust. And hopefully they're being as honest as possible.
We appreciate you for joining us.
Man, thank you for having me, man. Mm-hmm.
All right, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's a lot of animosity, but they won't say my name. Them rock with me, little don't get banged. Because they'll do that job for me while I hop on the plane.
All right, shout out to Sir for joining us. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
Hey, yes, I want to salute my guy, Elvis Duran, my radio godfather, man. His new book, Where Do I Begin? It comes out today. Okay, it's in bookstores everywhere today. And tonight, I'll be having a conversation with Elvis Duran. You can go to youtube.com/Elvis Duran Show at 7 p.m. No, 6 p.m. The live stream begins. So you can watch me and Elvis Duran talk about his new book, Where Do I Begin? If you're a radio head, a mass communications head, then you definitely want to check out Elvis Duran's new book, all right? I'm sure it's soon to be a New York Times bestseller. Now, the positive note is simply this. Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. That's from Maya Angelou.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.